B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
I saw this video yesterday and I loved it. An Australian man had to body slam a kangaroo that chased him down and attacked him. And I mean, he like gets his kangaroo in a rear naked choke.
Yeah.
The
thing was kicking the crap out of him.
Home surveillance video shows the rogue marsupial chasing down the man in Ballina, New South Wales as he flees for safety. The kangaroo chased down the man before tackling him to the ground as the two slugged it out in a drawn-out brawl with both fighters looking worse for wear.
It's a full-on boxing match.
Oh, the thing is big.
Well, look at him take him down, Nick, and he gets behind him and puts him in a headlock.
He said he was afraid for his life.
Yeah, so footage uploaded after the fight shows the man sprinting away from the irate Eastern Grey before stumbling and hitting the ground. The marsupial then stomps on the man, who gets back on his feet, desperately clutching a stick and swinging it wildly. The man's dog is barking behind him in an attempt to defend its owner as the roo turns about heel and darts back into attack mode. The kangaroo is able to hop through the first blow and the two square up, exchanging brutal hooks and uppercuts. Overwhelmed by the quick punches, the man clinches up with the kangaroo to avoid further blows and grabs it by the front foot, pulling it to the ground. Luckily for the victim, he ends up able to pin down the animal, but not without catching a few blows first. It's not known if the man was badly hurt in the attack. Kangaroos are mostly non-aggressive, but thousands of mostly undocumented attacks do occur in Australia when the animals feel threatened.
There's tons of footage. In fact, it ends up on AFV all the time of people going to wherever they... Zoos here, I don't know, wherever they allow you proximity to a kangaroo.
Yeah.
But what they do is they, like the bigger ones, balance up on their tails and kick out with a lot of force.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, now this is worse than that. A 9-year-old girl survived a cougar attack after wandering up a trail with two friends while camping in Northwest Washington State. Happened Saturday morning. The girl fought back while her friends ran for their lives. Adults rushed to help and found the girl covered in blood. She was soon airlifted to the hospital where she's recovering after surgery for multiple wounds to her head and upper body.
Jeez.
It's amazing she lived. Others found the young male cougar and killed it. According to experts, anyone confronted by a cougar should yell at the animal and try to make yourself look bigger than it is. If it attacks, they said, fight back as hard as you can and try to stay on your feet. Do not turn around. Don't take your eyes off of the animal and don't run.
So cougars aren't like lion and tiger size, but their method of attack is stealthy, coming in from behind and going for the neck.
Yep, absolutely. And then once they get hold
of
you,
they
don't let go. Yeah. It's a good question, Casey. Maybe 80 pounds or something like that?
Yeah, around 80 pounds.
I'm guessing.
Yeah, on average. 80 to like 100, 120?
Nick's looking it up. Wow.
All right.
The adult can be 120 to 220
pounds. Oh, I didn't know that.
And a female is about 65 to 140 pounds, so they get pretty freaking big.
Listen, let me have a few salads, I'll get up.
You'll knock it down?
That kind of cougar.
Yeah. In Ireland, a man has described a lucky escape after their 11-year-old son found an unexploded hand grenade on a beach.
What's with the hand grenades?
And he picked it up. Cole Chapman was with a young friend Saturday when they spotted the live World War I era weapon and picked it up in their hands. Cole then made a video call to his father asking, Dad, is this real? He's holding the grenade up.
We'll pull the pin, son, and find out.
His shocked father advised him to put it down very gently, move far away from the device, and to call the police.
Pull the pin with your teeth, son, and then hold it in your hand.
An Army ammunition technical officer went to the scene, later confirmed that it was what's called a Mills bomb hand grenade, which was still capable of exploding and causing injury.
That's named after Heather Mills, who lost both her
legs in a landmine accident. The boy's
all right, guys.
Mother, what?
All right. Real question. Real talk here.
Yeah.
You're walking in a field. There's nobody within miles of you, and you come across a grenade. What do you do with it? Do you pull the pin and chuck it?
Well, here's the deal. I would love, so on one level, I would love to throw a hand grenade, an actual real hand grenade. Mm-hmm. But if you find a hand grenade, you don't know how precarious it is.
Yes.
And so I probably would not.
I probably would not either, because I've had occasions where I've lit a firecracker in my hand.
Yeah.
And you think it's going to go... Boom. But it goes, spang!
Yeah.
I think the same thing could happen with a grenade, too.
Yeah.
Probably going to stay
okay,
with it.
All right.
So anyhow, the boy's mother, Danielle, had earlier driven Cole and his friend Oliver to the beach so the boys could look for crabs. She then received a panic call from Cole's father, who was 60 miles away.
Mommy drove us to the beach to look for crabs and hand grenades.
Telling her to drive back down to the scene as soon as possible to protect the children. But it was a real grenade, and it could have gotten real bad. North Carolina man who won a $10 million lottery prize in 2017 has been sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole in a 2020 fatal shooting of his girlfriend. Dude had won the lottery, man. You would think you could put whatever issue you have behind
you. You're good now.
Yeah.
Relax.
Michael Todd Hill was convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced Friday in the killing of 23-year-old Kenna Graham.
Wealthiest convict ever.
Graham was reported missing in July of 2020. She was later found dead in a hotel with a gunshot wound to the back of her head. Prosecutor said surveillance footage from the hotel showed that Hill was the only person in the room with Graham. They said Hill later confessed to the shooting after she had been texting with another man, apparently.
Okay, so he got jealous and he killed her. Question here. If you were taking your payment out in the lottery, like with the annuity, is there anything in the law or the lottery rules that would stop you from getting paid if you
win? Some kind of moral clause?
I don't think there is. But
I think you're still entitled.
Yeah,
to the money.
Still entitled to the money.
But if you're in prison, you just can't use it.
So
it's the word. Yeah. All right, and then finally, I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but a protester dressed as an elderly person in a wheelchair threw cake on the glass that protects the Mona Lisa at the Louvre in Paris.
You're wasting cake!
The famous painting was unharmed. The protester had spread roses around the space and was escorted out by guards. The protester, speaking in French, said, "Think of the earth. There are people who are destroying the earth. Think about it.
Think of the earth.
Artists tell you, think of the earth. That's why I did this."
So when this happened, and it was the protective glass, you know, stopped it from hitting the painting, do you think that there are replicas that they will pop out there, to preserve the... In other words...
Is it the real one?
Is it the real one?
I think so. If it's in the Louvre, I mean, I get what your point is, Steve, but with the protective case...
With cake throwers out there?
Yes, the danger of cake throwers, but, like, that thing is so protected. There's no way... And it's been attacked before. Somebody's tried to smear graffiti on it in the past. Not with cake, but with something else.
Right. I would hope that it's not a fake. I mean, it's a museum, for crying out loud. It's there for its display purposes, so... but anyhow, the person is smearing cake all over the glass while they're doing it, so.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand. It's the Bizarre File podcast.
An extended silence from the flight deck on board an ITA Airways Airbus A330 flight from to Rome suggests that both on-duty pilots took a little nap on board. The incident occurred on May 1st, and it was operating from New York to Rome. While mostly uneventful, a strange period of silence in the cockpit occurred for roughly 10 minutes towards the end of the flight.
Wait, so there were two pilots up there?
Yeah. As the plane flew at 38,000 feet over France, the first officer was approved to sleep under a procedure known as a controlled rest, defined as a short sleep opportunity that serves as a mitigation strategy in case of unexpected fatigue during the flight.
But both are not supposed to.
However, the captain was not approved to sleep. French authorities prepared to dispatch a pair of fighter jets to intercept the A330 and ensure that there was no trouble on board, the pilots woke up. Aircraft proceeded without further incident to Rome and safely landed at Rome. Italian media further reports that the captain was removed from service after the incident, but has maintained his innocence, denying that he took a nap and blaming the problem on the radio communication system.
Not that I would ever want that to happen. I would want my pilot to be awake the whole time, but those planes can pretty much fly themselves.
They can, yeah.
And in fact, it says here that they noted the aircraft was on autopilot during the flight snooze. And there was no likely or imminent danger posed to passengers, but they should
stay. No more warm milk in the cockpit.
One of them needs to stay awake. What's that, Case?
How comfortable are those chairs, though? I mean, like, your regular passenger chairs, not super comfortable. What are the pilot's
chairs
like?
They're pretty comfortable, but they should probably use as, like, folding, like uncomfortable folding, you know, like poker chairs or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, but they are they can nap, so they find a way to do it. This is pretty wild. A guy named Stephen Gallagher from Scotland has an autoimmune disease that prevented him from moving his hands.
Oh, my God.
His scleroderma.
Oh, that's what killed Bob Saget's sister.
That's right. Caused tremendous pain until a procedure changed his life. After finding a donor, Gallagher underwent a 12-hour surgery to replace both of his hands. He remained in the hospital for a month after the procedure, and Gallagher says that his hands are functioning better. He's able to open the faucet and pet his dog, and he no longer has pain.
So a quick question, I don't know how much you know about this story, is scleroderma is all over the body, or usually affects the whole body, all the skin. Was this just localized to his hands?
I don't know. And maybe there are different
types of it?
Yeah, yeah, I'm not really sure, Steve, but apparently this was... It was enough that he was in constant pain, and they were able to, to completely remove his hands and put new ones on there.
It basically hardens up the skin.
Yeah, oh like God. Turned to stone.
Yeah.
On November 6th of last year, staff at a pachinko parlor in Japan, which is a gaming parlor, came across an abandoned cardboard box in the facility's multi-story parking garage, and inside the box was a collection of 27 plastic bottles, ranging from 17 ounces to 16 ounces, and they contained a grand total of 13 liters of pee.
Wow, man, that's a great collection.
And either really involved or really low-priority investigation was launched, and police managed to track down the producer of the pee using surveillance cameras, and they finally found the man and arrested him on charges of violating the waste management law.
You found my piss bottles, didn't you?
According to police, the man said, "It was a bother going to the toilet, so yeah. I saved it. But I had trouble disposing of
it. Don't look in the hat boxes.
So I threw it away at my favorite pachinko parlor." readers of the news,
come on,
were naturally amused by the absurdity of it, with some comments suggesting the suspect may have been a bottler. This is a Japanese term for a person who gets so engrossed in an online game that they can't tear themselves away long enough to use the bathroom, and the name really says it all.
That's horrifying.
Probably the only way to deter this behavior is to remind everyone that police in Japan do not take waste abandonment lightly. Whether it's pee in plastic bottles or poop in bento boxes.
Oh, my God.
They will find you. Police say they arrested a driver who was 3.5 times the legal alcohol limit after at least 5 people called 911. Witnesses reported seeing an SUV hit the median of an expressway. They said that the crash caused a flat tire and the car to smoke, but the driver kept going. Another caller said the driver was all over the road.
I'm good.
And missing a front tire. Now, they say he eventually stopped at a car dealership. He appeared super drunk. Employees told police that the driver, 30-year-old Jordan Mattingly, was trying to sell his SUV to the car lot. And by the way, this has a punchline at the end, okay? Police say that he had swelling and scratches as if he had just been in a crash.
And he goes and tries to sell it back to the dealership?
Not back to him, just to sell just it to a dealership. So wow. He's trying to unload it because he just had an accident in it. They say Mattingly smelled of alcohol and almost fell several times. Officers say he tested 0.291 on the breath test, which is an obscene amount. Police say inside his SUV, they found 4 Loco cans and a can of White Claw. Mattingly is facing several charges. He is the son of the manager of the Miami Marlins and former professional baseball player Don Mattingly.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Wow. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
But he was so hammered and got in an accident that he pulled over at a lot and tried to sell it while he's bombed out of his mind.
And let me tell you, I'm going to give you a real good price.
Wow. All right, and then finally, proving again that Florida man plus Speedo equals trouble. A 64-year-old retiree was arrested Tuesday for allegedly exposing himself to a female beachgoer. Investigators say Charles Hickson was busted Tuesday afternoon for indecent exposure following an incident at Sunset Beach.
God, it's a lovely day. This is my penis.
Hickson was in the water about knee-deep wearing a Speedo when he pulled down the front of his swimsuit and exposed his penis. Hickson was allegedly, quote, holding it in his hand.
Oh, no.
While staring and grinning at the 28-year-old victim who was on the beach. Now, listen to this, okay?
Was it Don Mattingly himself?
No, listen to this. The woman and Hickson had both made eye contact, and the victim described his penis as being large, like 8 inches long, and it was reported a similar color in body, similar in color to his body, which was tanned.
Wow.
So this guy's got a big hog, and he apparently gets it out in the sun quite a bit because it was the same as his tanned body. A witness told police...
I tanned it for you.
...that they saw Hickson with his hands at his crotch but did not see him expose himself. When questioned by the police, Hickson denied anything happened and stated that he did not intentionally expose himself to anyone.
Was it possible that it was spawning time?
He was charged with exposure of sexual organs.
Jeez.
And that is what I have in the Bizarre File for you now.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And thanks for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.